For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, the juice got squeezed on Saturday, that's for sure. Matt D'Agostino alongside Wes Chang here, another edition of the Juice on the Cuse podcast. And as the Syracuse basketball team headed back to North Carolina on Saturday, this time to take on Wake Forest, 99-70. The final score, the Orange fall to the Demon Deacons. And Wes, aside from just losing this game, it looked like Syracuse barely even showed up for it, to be honest.
Yeah, Matt, obviously an ugly performance all around for Syracuse, but I want to point out the defensive end, because Syracuse allowed the Deacons to shoot 66% from the field, 12 for 19 from downtown. Just really wasn't a competitive game after the first 10 minutes. So a lot of concerning signs all around, not just in this game. It's looking like a trend, because against Boston College, you and I spoke about it, Syracuse gave up 60% shooting from the field. And in their last three losses, they've allowed more than 80 points. And I know Jim Boeheim got a lot of criticism at the end of his coaching career about his zone defense, but this man look just hasn't been producing any results recently either.
Yeah, now they're looking at five losses in their last nine games. And in those five losses, they're allowing almost 91 points a game. They gave up 103 to North Carolina, 99 on Saturday to Wake Forest. So yeah, the defense, which we thought had been the calling card for much of the season, has kind of disappeared in this stretch when they haven't been able to win games. And again, it's not that they're just losing some games. They're getting blown out in these games. Nobody seemed to really light the world on fire for Syracuse on Saturday. There were decent games for Judah Mintz here and there, and J.J. Starling gets 12 points in the second half, and even Justin Taylor was able to knock down a couple of shots, which we haven't seen much of lately, but there was just too much that went wrong. I thought Malik Brown getting in foul trouble that we talked about, it's the second game in a row, basically, where that's kind of been the case, and they haven't had an answer to replace him when he gets in foul trouble. Benny Williams, I thought, was way too much on the exterior of the offensive end on Saturday.
Playing like a shooting guard, not a power forward. Inside.
And, I mean, far be it from me to critique shooting form or anything. It almost looks like his shot hits the bottom of the rim sometimes. That shot is so line drive and so flat that it does not instill much confidence when it goes up. He has been at times dynamic when he's been inside creating and rebounding and defensively, but it has not worked out well for him when there's that many jump shots involved. And after the game, Wes, Adrian Autry, he was not a man of many words. A few of the words that I did hear him say were terrible, horrible, and four times in 3.5 minutes he said unacceptable. So he was not mincing words when talking about his team's performance on Saturday.
Yeah, I wrote down this quote exactly because I wanted to quote it on the show, which is, quote, "I'd like to apologize to our fans, our university, for that performance. It's unacceptable." One of the first four times he mentioned it. "Won't be tolerated, won't be allowed, won't allow it." So, Matt, a couple things I want to point out about this, you talked about Benny Williams, going right before the half, about 2 minutes left, Kadir Copeland turns that ball over. Benny Williams throws the ball out of bounds instead of to an official. So he gets teed up. And then Adrian Autry rightfully lifts him from the game. And I don't know what you saw here, Matt. It looked to me like Benny Williams bumps Autry in the shoulder, kind of shoulder-to-shoulder contact on the way to the bench. If that's intentional, number one, Benny's got to sit for a couple of games. And number two, I think a move like that shows that there's a disconnect between the players and coaches, especially when you think about the overall lack of effort in the game. So I'm not sure if he's lost the locker room. I'm not sure if it's just one or two frustrated plays that kind of make it like that. And I don't know what you thought of that shoulder-to-shoulder bump, Matt. I'd like to hear all of your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I thought it was a bogus tech, if I'm being honest. It was not. I didn't think it did not warrant a technical to me. Maybe a delay of game warning, that kind of thing. But he didn't throw it at anyone. He just tossed it towards the baseline. He put a little zip on it. I'll give you that much. But I didn't think it warranted a technical. I thought that was kind of bogus. So if it were me, I would be frustrated about that. Maybe my head isn't in the right place. And again, whether it's intentional or unintentional, it doesn't look good. The optics on it are not good. So that's sometimes more important than the intent behind things. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not ready to say he's lost the locker room. It's too early for me to say that, especially when I think we, by and large, have thought Adrian Autry has done a good job with the team this season and has been there to support his players and to try and boost their confidence and try to boost them to a higher level. So I think it would be unlikely that it has all turned around that quickly, but this is kind of a culmination of things where they have not been good on the road. They're getting blown out in some of these games. And you look at Boston College and now Wake Forest, certainly Boston College, one of the more winnable games remaining on the schedule. Wake Forest would have been a very good road win to get it on Saturday. But I think frustration is piling up all around here as we try to figure out exactly what's going on and where we see this team going. But I don't know about you, Wes. We've talked about, is this a tournament team? And I think at its best, they are capable of being a tournament team. But I think even the orangest of orange color glasses could not see this being a tournament team as of right now.
Yeah, Matt, there's in defense of Adrian Autry, right? Because I think, if we're talking about him potentially losing the locker room, this isn't his roster. This isn't the team that he recruited. He didn't have time to really build what he wanted. And that's going to come in through the next few recruiting classes. But I think the jury's still out on how effective a coach he can be down the road, right? You have to give him 3 to 4 cycles to bring in completely his own guy. And I think the roster as it was, we talked about it all season, it was a little misshapen. So that one thing I do want to defend Autry on.
I'm curious though. So like, this isn't a completely new staff coming in. Yes, Jim Boeheim makes the decisions on who is going to be recruited to his team. In the past, but Adrian Autry is recruiting these guys. He's certainly getting his input into which guys he likes and which guys fit the Syracuse system. And I get they're not playing zone defense anymore. And that was a large part of what made up the Syracuse system. But I mean, I think these are partially his guys. I don't think it's certainly not a clean slate. Like he was interested in recruiting some of these players and did recruit some of these players. So I don't know what kind of, leeway you get with that sort of thing. I understand if a whole new staff comes in, but I don't know that we can completely say it's not his roster. You know what I mean?
Well, I think the way this roster was recruited was toward a zone defense, to your point, Matt. And I think that shift in philosophy, again, because we're talking about defensive deficiencies here and how Syracuse has really struggled defending in their 3 losses, again, giving up 80 points. And this is a team that was recruited to play that 2-3 zone. Now you switch to man, and all of a sudden you have Chris Bell and Justin Taylor as your starting wings, who are not rebounders, and they're not guys that are going to get inside for you. So, I think, Donnie Freeman coming in is going to help that. And I think, they have Elijah Morris coming in, who's known as a knockdown shooter, 2 things that they've been missing this season. So, again, give him a couple cycles, and I think he can balance out the roster. But, Matt, one other thing I wanted to point out is, I think we can call it. We kind of touched on this before. So February 3rd, 2024, the day that Syracuse's NCAA tournament hopes expired, because T-Rank, which I've quoted before, now gives Syracuse a 1.4% chance getting an at-large bid. And you and I love to quote Dumb and Dumber, so I'll just parenthetically put this in. So you're telling me there's a chance. But, they only have a 1.4% chance of an at-large bid to the NCAA tournament. And only 18 regular season wins. So that's what they're projected at, which falls too short of that magic number of 20 that you've had all season. So But I think it just shows how fickle college basketball can be. Because if you look at T-Rank following Syracuse's win over Miami, they were projected to win those 20 games and had about a 20% chance at an NCAA tournament bid. But they've got 9 games left to get 6 wins. I just don't see them going 6-3 down the stretch right now.
Yeah, it'll take, you know, 6 wins and probably a couple of those needing to be against teams that they probably shouldn't beat at this point to catch the tourney committee's eyes once again. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, they have tournament team potential for sure.
Talent, yep.
And we've seen how good the defense has been at times this season. It's puzzling a little bit to see how fleeting that has been and how quickly some of that stuff has gone away here in the last couple of weeks. So we'll get to see what Syracuse can do down the stretch. But yeah, 6 wins in 9 games to end the regular season, a little bit of a tall task for them at this point. In the next segment, we might as well just start calling him another talent here on the Juice on the Cues podcast. Quarterback commit A.J. Miller talking to Wes Chang once again. I think they're BFFs at this point. Let's see what A.J.'s got to say for himself next.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Back on the Juice on the Cues podcast, Wes Chang here with you, and we've had a chance to get to know 2024 quarterback A.J. Miller a lot over the last year at the Juice, and certainly over the past few weeks here on the podcast as we've had him on to discuss his offer, then after that to discuss his official visit. And he's now officially orange. He committed last week. I wanted to welcome him back to the program. A.J., how's it going today?
Hey, how are you?
Yeah, A.J., congratulations. You're the latest Syracuse 2024 commit. So how does it feel and what made you pull the trigger?
It feels amazing. I'm so excited to get to work. Just the opportunity Coach Fran and Coach Nuns and Coach Nixon are offering me, it's unreal. You asked a question about what made me pull the trigger, and it was hands down the loyalty. Coach Nuns has been recruiting me for 2 years. Coach Nixon came to my house. Coach Harris was calling me and texting me nonstop. Khalil had blowing up my phone, like, just the loyalty the whole time. And the fact that, you know, a lot of PWOs, like, they come in just to do whatever. That's not what's happening here in Syracuse. Like, Coach Fran made that very clear. Like, the fact that I have Coach Fran's number and access to him all the time just speaks about that, the way that he's really recruiting me. The fact that I'm the quarterback he has recruited, like, I'm the first quarterback he recruited. Like, I'm so excited about all that.
Yeah.
So, AJ, before you committed, you had an in-home visit with Syracuse offensive coordinator Jeff Nixon. Tell me more about how that went.
You know, after the pleasantries, we started talking ball, like, what he really envisions, like the type of success he had at Baylor with Charlie Brewer. You know, they made the Sugar Bowl. Then he was with the Panthers, the Giants. Like, if you want to go pro, like, Coach Nixon's your guy. Like, we're going to run a pro-style offense. He said, I won't lie to you, the install is going to be hard. You're going to have to study your butt off. But he was like, that's why we're recruiting you. You're a really smart kid with a high GPA, with a high football IQ from everyone we spoke to, and we're really excited about that. And that's what excites them about me.
AJ, we're really excited for you. Just tell me about the moment when you committed to Syracuse.
So it was pretty cool. I think Coach Nixon was maybe getting the hint the whole time, but I said, hey, let's FaceTime Coach Fran. And we did. And he picked up and we said, hey, Coach, I'm coming to Syracuse. And it was just an awesome moment with me and my family, Coach Nixon. We shared a big hug. Coach Fran was on the plane, but he was fired up. It was awesome.
AJ, thank you so much. Really appreciate everything. We look forward to seeing you in Syracuse this fall.
Yes, sir. All right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
A.J. Miller, ladies and gentlemen. And again, I think A.J. gave you good insight into how Fran Brown recruits his players. He talked about how he had a direct line of Coach Brown. It was in consistent contact with the entire staff. So great stuff from him. All the best as he makes his transition from Rye to Syracuse. We will take a quick break and we will wrap things up here on the Juice on the Cues podcast. And I'm Wes Chang.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Final thoughts here on a somber weekend in February for the Syracuse basketball team. We'll look to see if they can right the ship again this week after a loss on Saturday to Wake Forest. But to wrap things up, I've got one more bad stat for you, Wes. This is not exactly indicative of a quality team, but Judah Mintz in Saturday's game against Wake Forest, if you're familiar with the plus minus stat, basically it's how well your team did while you were on the floor. And Judah Mintz's plus minus from Saturday was minus 38. This is the guy who's your leading scorer, your best player. And when he was on the floor for Syracuse on Saturday, Syracuse got outscored by 38 points. Now, I'm not a firm believer, a staunch believer in plus minus all the time, because it's indicative of the other people that are on the floor with you. It's not just a you stat. But that's tough to swallow in general terms when you're thinking, when my best player is out on the floor, my team's getting outscored by 38 points in one game. You'd like to think that he can affect winning more than that, and he most certainly does on almost every night, but that number jumped out at me in that one. Again, it's a 29-point loss, so I would imagine, you know, there's not many good plus-minus numbers for Syracuse on Saturday, but minus 38 for the best player jumps off the page at me.
All right, Matt. So let's turn a frown upside down here and talk about some good news from Syracuse for the weekend, because we certainly need it. So I'm going to close the show on talking about the Syracuse men's lacrosse team. So we're in year three of the Gary Gate era. They opened the 2024 season with an impressive 20-7 win over Vermont. Joey Spallina, who wears number 22, leading Syracuse with 3 goals and 4 assists. And they'll have a quick turnaround. They'll host Colgate on Monday night. But Matt, you know, the Orange has been down for a few years now, and this could be the year where we see Syracuse lacrosse return to being Syracuse lacrosse, how we envisioned it growing up.
Yeah, I mean, it was death, taxes, and Syracuse in the lacrosse Final Four for so long. But it's good to see that season getting back underway. It's always crazy that season starts in February as we sit here, but good thing they've got a nice indoor facility to stay warm. So good to see the Syracuse lacrosse team is underway, and the Syracuse basketball team, like I said, hopefully we can see some improved performances. Some defense would be good. Some shots from the outside would be good, but not nearly as good as you, Wes Chang. Once again, superlatives for Mr. Chang on this edition of the Juice on the Cuse podcast. For Wes, I'm Matt. Thanks again for tuning in here on the Bleav Network and on Rivals.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.